of the lots cleared next to my property, not one seedling remains, even though last year I walked around the property because the owner was going to sell it, and I saw over 25 seedlings before the clearing. Number 9, lot clearing crews do their job efficiently, using powerful weed whackers and chainsaws to remove all low-growing vegetation. I personally witnessed the cutting down of a mature oak tree. I've also watched a tractor bulldoze through more than one lot in our town to clear it. Number 10, no pine or oak seedling has a chance of surviving under current weed abatement policies and practices. Number 11, seedlings need some shade and protection from plants like coffeeberry shrubs, etc. Number 12, many birds such as our state bird, the California quail, makes its nest on the ground in bushes and shrubs, not in open grass. Number 13, when someone removes all the bushes, more grass grows because it can grow now because of sunlight. Number 14, trees and other ground cover provide oxygen, shade, natural screening between homes, noise buffering, and erosion control. The last fact, this is the last southernmost forest of Monterey pine trees in the state of California, or for that matter in the United States. Now that the CCSD has some of the facts, the proper principled action can be taken to ensure both the safety of human life and property and the preservation of a priceless natural resource. Thank you for your time.
Excellent timing. Thank you, Mr. Martillo. Claude Albazi?
Albanese.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed Cambria Pines here for 5 years with my wife and also my daughter. I wanted to ask you to please somehow modify your hazard fuel reduction program to be amenable to the Cambria Forest Management Plan. We want to make sure that we somehow include it and that they don't fight each other. We don't want the Cambria Forest Management Plan fighting with the ordinance the way it stands, because right now they're not friends. I mean, we need to have real unity here between the forest management and the CCSD plan. We all want security. Our whole lives have been involved in security with 9/11, and we want the security of having no fire in our neighborhoods. But I'm thinking of a ranch like out of our back window, we see the Covell Ranch, which is many, many acres. And I'm wondering what would happen if we use the CCSD plan to apply to that ranch. Because that, I'm afraid there may be damage that we cannot ever make good on. That too many plants would die and too many animals and birds and insects. How about our bee population even? I'm really concerned.
Raise the ladder. As biomass goes away, the forest will eventually disappear as well. You'll reduce the biodiversity in the forest and make it more susceptible to invasive species, plants, fungus, insects, and birds as well. And the Cambria stand of Monterey Pines, as mentioned before, is very unique and classified as environmentally sensitive habitat. The goals of the hazardous fuel reduction plan are fairly one-sided and oriented towards fire safety. I urge you to implement the Cambria's forest management plan to integrate both the fire safety issues as well as the ecology of the forest. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Canestro. Wayne Ryburn.
Good evening. My name is Wayne Ryburn. I've lived in Cambria for 26 years. I support the chief in his effort to keep us safe. We're in a red zone, and we need to be very vigilant. Having said that, I want to jump from the reduction business here because it's an ongoing program. I think there's precedent for it. You've been doing it for years. You've increased it a little bit. But I want to jump into your proposed ordinance. You know that I support this, and I asked you a couple meetings ago to try to have an ordinance in place within 90 days so that a year from now we're not standing here talking about the same issue. And having said that, I want to be redundant and say that the Forest Management Committee should have input in this, and we should come up with some reasonable, if you want to use the word compromise, between looking at everything as fuel and looking at everything as environment. We've got to have a compromise to protect us and at the same time not destroy the environment. And I think the problem in the past has been that the defensible space ordinance proposed and what's going on now for the last 2 weeks have been all blended together and made people a little uptight. So, again, the dialogue needs to take place. And for me, having talked to the chief for a while and living here for a while, I think the big problem is you're trying to develop some kind of template that fits all. And I walk around a lot in the community, and I know there are places down on Lodge Hill that this ordinance that I'm talking about would have no application. If you come back up the hill near the preserve, other places in the community, there's very high fire danger, and you have to look at the defensible space in a whole different way. And then finally, you people have an obligation because you own a preserve here in town. And I think you need to allocate a decent amount of money in the budget so that Ben Bohrer can defend the perimeter of that for the people who live around the border of that ranch. Now, he does a good job, and in no way reflects on what Ben has done in the past or his attitude toward it. It's the fact that more work needs to be done so that ideally you could bring a mower in there at some point and seasonally just get rid of the grass. And it doesn't have to, impact the whole thing. It would just be a defensive perimeter. So please get people together talking, and I hope within a couple of months come up with some compromise that everybody's happy with. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. Caitlin Stern.
Petition for the nest holes in the McGormore Intense, and invasive species such as starlings will be more able to outcompete native species such as acorn woodpeckers and pygmy nuthatches for those spaces. So you may see a decline in populations that are native to this area and that are strongly dependent on the pine forest, and I don't think anyone wants to see that. So thank you very much.
Excuse me a second. Are you here studying the forest?
I'm studying the pygmy nuthatches for my dissertation research. I'm a PhD student.
Wow. Well, can we have your contact information? I'm serious.
Of
either staff or the forest committee.
Yeah,
we'd
definitely
love to exploit your knowledge.
Great.
Thanks. Thank you. Jesse Arnold.
Hello, my name is Jesse Arnold. I live on Sunbury Avenue on Happy Hill. I can agree with something that everyone has said so far. I thought the first speaker was very good. When I came here in 1967, there were about 1,500 people. I guess we've got about 5,000 more people. I don't know if there are 5,000 fewer trees, but it seems like it. At any rate, I think it feels like we're being whacked here because of what happened in San Diego County and other places. I think we should keep the stumps or snags, the dead trees, for habitat, as was mentioned earlier. And I think we should keep the brambles because I think they're better at holding moisture. They're less of a fire hazard than if you chop them all off and convert it to grassland. And on logs, I don't think we should remove the down logs. And I'll say again, well, across from me on Sunbury Avenue, on one side there's a private property owner who went to great expense to remove all the dead wood. To the left of me is the property I mentioned at a previous meeting, which belongs to our district. The down logs are still there, and that's fine with me, but it looks like do as I say, not as I do. So let's try to save as much of the forest as we can and still have fire safety. When you live here, you have to accept some risk. If there's going to be no risk, there's going to be no trees or no people or no houses. I don't know which, but it looks like we're heading for no trees. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. Spoken like a true parent. Okay. Rick Hawley, is that you again? See, now I got your signature. Your signature has changed or something, or you're in a hurry tonight or something. I don't know. Or maybe it's too much sun.
Maybe so, but I think I'm just mad tonight.
As opposed, what is it? Just a second, please. Yeah.
No worries.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for the comments, too. My name is Rick Hawley. I live here in Cambria. I'm also the executive director of Green Space, the Cambria Land Trust, and we own about 25 acres worth of Cambria Pines. Also, an elected member of the San Luis Obispo County Community Fire Safe Council. And one of them I think we have in common is because we love the forest. We like living in a forest setting. And we didn't move to the desert. We moved into a forest. So we have some things that we're willing to accept, that we have trees that fall, and so forth and so on, and there is a risk of fire, more so than being in the middle of the desert. I think everyone here agrees with defensible space around their homes. I think people know about hazardous trees, and we can have those removed. We don't need to remove every snag in the forest. But it's clear now that this elected body needs to deal with this forest. These people here are telling you that so far. We have a forest management plan that was many years in the making. CDF, which is California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, bought off on it. The Cambria Fire Department bought off on it. This esteemed body bought off on it. And many others who participated as agencies bought off on that plan. So now it's time for you people to come up with the money. And I know we got millions of dollars from Chevron. I know that you spent thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, suing the people in the watersheds for their water, which didn't do anything for the forest and didn't do anything for our relationship with the ranchers. I don't know how much that cost, but that probably could have implemented the forest management plan. The ordinance before you today is not friendly to the forest. It's one-dimensional, it's narrowly focused, and it only has to deal with a perception of a fire department. And, you know, that's a good thing to protect us from a fire, but we need a multifaceted look at this forest. We don't need a one-dimensional look. We have, I read in the paper that, you know, birds are declining throughout California at an alarming rate. The proposed ordinance wants to take out the entire understory as it's written. I mean, what does that tell you? What's going to happen to the habitat? Well, it's gone. What's going to happen to shelter for wildlife? It's not there. What's going to happen to the understory? It's going to become converted to grasslands that are very flashy and susceptible to fire a lot more than some of the native plants are.
Rick, so can you wind down, please?
I sure can. We want the CCSD to implement the forest management plan. It's time. It affects every person living here. It's not a tennis court that affects just a few people. This affects every person here, and every person that's going to live here in the future after we're gone are going to appreciate this forest management plan. Dump the ordinance. Thank you.
Mr. President, could I ask, our agenda item really is on the current policy, and I wondered, do we want to...
Good evening, members of the board. I'm Skip Moss, a resident of Cambria. Joan, in response to what you just mentioned, a lot of people here wrote in and have contacted members of the board, members of the staff, and we were told that both the current ordinance and the proposed ordinance we're going to be dealt with tonight. So I think that's why we're getting so much of a response to it
tonight. I just want to say that the agenda item is not about that.
Right.
So we're not on that agenda item. But
okay.
If the president and our attorney is not going in, I don't know what else to say. But the agenda item is to get input upon the existing ordinance.
I'm
into fluid rules, so go ahead. Start talking.
As I was driving down here tonight, I thought of a great website for this, and it would be called Bureaucracies Gone Wild.
You forgot the .com.
.com. Or .org, I guess it would be. Recently, Galen Rathbun and Rick Hawley, Howard Valens, who's also here tonight, and myself, wrote a memorandum and sent it to you, and I'd like to read a little bit about it. The Cambria Fire Department, if they wish to try and implement changes to the current regulations, we believe that they must follow all of the overriding laws, not just the ones that they choose. In order to do this, the Cambria CSD board should ask their staff to make certain that regulations are consistent with existing codes and also consistent with the guidance provided by the Cambria Forest Management Plan and North Coast Area Plan. Most importantly, proposed ordinance 01-2007 will require compliance with the California Coastal Act and California Environmental Quality Act. In your very glossy and expensive 2007 Fire Hazard Fuel Reduction Program brochure that came out last week or 2 weeks ago, frequently asked question number 5 asks, are there legal requirements to implement such an ordinance, or is the CCSD establishing its own rules? The CCSD is establishing its own rules. This does not exist anywhere in California that we have discovered. I'd like to hear from the chief where in California they have eliminated the understory of an entire forest. Proposed ordinance 01-2007 is not legal as drafted, goes way beyond the recent changes to the Public Resources Code 4291. First, the proposed ordinance ignores all federal, state, and local environmental protection laws. Secondly, it neither considers the significant environmental impact nor seeks to avoid or mitigate the impacts on the environment. And thirdly, the ordinance fails to address land kept in a predominantly natural state as open space, which is required by the state. Fourth, it fails to consider that the San Luis Obispo North Coast Area Plan mandates that no understory vegetation shall be removed until a permit has been issued or unless an immediate hazard condition exists. This is not considered an immediate hazard.
Mr. Moss, can you wind down, please?
Yes. Fifth, the proposed ordinance contradicts the SLO North Coast Area Plan, which expressly provides the vegetation removed for defensible space and fire hazard fuel reduction shall be the minimum necessary. You need to rewrite a new ordinance.
That's Section 2, Paragraph 3, regarding large open space parcels with their own wildland fuel management plans. In the proposed draft, the requirements of the plan must be equal to or more stringent than the proposed ordinance. We would request the words equal to or greater than be eliminated in the final ordinance. Then the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve would be operated under its existing management plan without change. In Section 2, Paragraph 5, E and G, regarding the limbing of trees, our board would like to stress that we would like to see any tree limbing on the ranch be done in the fall when the least damage would be done to the trees and the environment. On June 9th, the Board of Directors of Friends of Fiscalini Ranch Preserve took a walk with our Fire Chief Bob Putney and Ben Bohr, manager of the ranch for CCSD, on what we called the fire walk. We started at the Trenton entrance, where on the left side of the trail, clearing had been done on the ranch behind the houses on Warren Road, and also on the other side of the trail behind Trenton Homes 4 years ago. At the time the work was done, it had looked a little sparse to our directors, but as we looked at it 4 years later, we felt the condition of the forest adjacent to homes is in very acceptable condition. And according to the fire chief, they do not plan to touch it again for at least 3 years, and that fuel reduction on the ranch adjacent to homes will remain the same. The board was quite satisfied with our walk. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Renshaw. Brian Stark.
Good evening. My name is Brian Stark. I'm Executive Director of the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo County. At one time or another, we've been owners of over 300 forested lots on Lodge Hill. We actually are subject to the existing ordinance as it is, and we do some lot management each year. And it's only through extensive work with our contractor that we feel we've been able to balance ecological values. A new ordinance that requires the removal of so much biomass, especially dead trees, seems to take away the life of the future forest. The forest ecology depends on recycling of nutrients and such. So we feel that's really important to leave that there. That's important habitat. In the ordinance, there's even references in the discussion about improving the environment. The academic in me sought a citation for that. But in any case, as the owners of conservation properties throughout the county, whenever something's required of people in the community that says to remove this or that from your property, oftentimes it ends up on my property. And it's a big concern of ours that the fact that creating something that has costs involved with it, despite the greatest plans, is going to end up in dumping of vegetation, and that's already happening. It happens on our property, and it's also happening on.
Good evening. I'm Phil Opperman. Lived here about 5 years. Have a large 3-acre lot close to Strawberry Canyon. Love this community, and it's as close to paradise, I think, as anywhere in the world. We want to keep it that way. And I appreciate the looking at fire reduction, because if we have a fire, our community would be definitely ruined. I want to concentrate on fuel hazard reduction, but I do appreciate a comprehensive approach, and we obviously need plentiful water, and I'm glad that you're working toward a desalination plant. Even though you wouldn't fight fire with that, that'll sure help individual homeowners have adequate water to do their own protection. I appreciate you looking at the storage tanks and making sure that we have adequate water storage. We obviously need adequate fire professionals, and hopefully we have that. On fire hazard reduction, obviously we need priorities, and the brochures that you have mentioned those. For instance, 30 feet to the house needs to be very strict and very clean, and then from 30 feet to 100 feet, not quite as strict, but clean. And beyond that, we need basic, I think that downed trees do need to come out, at least most of them, because fire comes through, those dead things are going to really increase the fire problem. But then these rules.
What happened to the mic? Excuse me, I'm stopping. What happened to the microphone? Did we lose him? Just a second, Mr. Opperman, I think.
Thank you.
Okay.
Once we understand the priorities and have those straight and we're all clear on them, then I think it needs to apply equally then to everybody, the lots with homes, the vacant lots, and the open lands, conservancies, the camps like Camp Ocean Pines and Jaeger. Whatever rules we set up need to be equal for everybody so that we're all safe. For instance, I am right against Strawberry Canyon, and that area needs to be gone through periodically to remove fire hazards so that if a fire comes from that direction, it's not already so hot by the time it gets to my property and others around me that it's non-defensible. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Walsh, Susan Walsh.
I believe in trying to stay as focused as possible.
Ms. Walsh, can you just get the microphone so we can hear you? Thank you.
I believe in staying focused as well. You have a lot to handle here. But I do believe that this is an issue that you can't even address adequately at all without the forest management program being brought into it. This last few days alone, with serious buck passing and serious failure to perform, if I've ever seen it in my life. Enter. On June 12th, what I call a miserable hit-and-run mess left by some weed abatement team on the corner of Stewart and Merlin that I could not believe upon returning from my 20-minute run to the store, enough to bite a hole in my lip, and then again, literally, to then get on the horn thinking, well, the first place to go is the real estate agent that's handled several sales of this property. He couldn't get back to me till the next day. Meanwhile, I went straight to the county thinking, well, let's go through the yellow pages. And I get the number to the appropriate agency, I thought, to ask, where do I go? This is a mess. And also, I want to return call from yesterday that I left for someone regarding 5 imperiled trees on my property. He forwarded me to the person I needed to leave a second message, not so nice maybe, but effective. The next day I had the county up there and they took down 5 imperiled trees and did such an immaculate job that I now feel not only safe for my own property's well-being, but my neighbors as well, and now feel encouraged because they didn't touch one of the oak saplings, or seedlings, I'm sorry, that are growing at the base of all these 80-foot trees, and then the big, huge corner tree, which isn't a Monterey pine, but has 2 healthy oak trees trying to grow in its shadows. They did a beautiful job. They were exemplary, and I saw what goes down on the fire department's end the day before, and then couldn't get anywhere past leaving a message, then being forwarded through CCSD to Captain Bitto. Captain Bitto then tells me,
can you wind down, please?
Sure. Captain Bitto then told me he couldn't do anything about that. It's really the standard of the contractor that's doing all of these weed abatement lot clearance projects. So I was fortunate enough to catch the party that was actually doing the lot on the other side of my property, and they began to make a similar kind of mess. And I stopped them in their process and then found out through the person that was in charge of their 5-man team who the contractor was, a local person here in town, been here for 20-something years. And I left a message on his voicemail. When he answered my call and then came out personally the next day to address the shambles of a job done, he said, I can't do anything for you. You got to call the fire department. That's 8 buck passings within a 24-hour period of time. To be able to fortunately catch the people that were doing this, I can only say that I am here at Captain Bitto's advice and a left message from the fire department by me the other day has not been returned. So I brought a copy to the letter I wrote in wake of the tree job that was done so beautifully to...
Let's have someone else. There's other people want to speak. Thank you. Pamela Thompson.
I'm Pamela Thompson. I want to speak on
Ms. Thompson,
defensible
sure.
space.
There we go.
Defensible space ordinance. When we moved to Cambria in the late 70s, our application for fire insurance were refused by several companies. After numerous tries, we found a company willing to write a policy for us. Most companies decline on the basis of the high risk for fire in Cambria. The Insurance Services Offices Incorporated grades fire departments throughout the U.S. on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst. Insurance rates are based on these ratings. In 1998, enough improvements had been made that Cambria's fire department was upgraded from ISO 6 to ISO 5, where it still remains. The next year, we applied for fire coverage at another company with lower premiums. However, we were refused again. Already this year, one of the major insurance companies announced that it would write no more policies at all in the state, well, for fire, in the state of California because of the drought and the increased danger of fires. I'm grateful to Chief Putney and the fire department for their efforts to protect Cambria despite the odds against them. The county says we have a 15-foot easement alongside the roads, but they do not enforce that. I was at a book group meeting on Park Hill when firemen came to the door and requested that people move their cars far enough apart so that the fire truck could get by. If they'd been going to a fire at your house, would you have been worried more about the downed wood, the gophers, etc., or your house and your neighborhood? The present fire conditions put all of Cambria at risk. I ask that you support efforts to create defensible spaces. Even those will not guarantee safety, but they will create better odds. And I want to remind you that the 4th of July is coming up, and every year I hear firecrackers around on Park Hill, and the cars are parked so that the fire truck couldn't get by if there were a fire. So I always cross my fingers and hope for the best. So far, so good.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson. Joanne Abney.
Hello. Most everything's been said already, but that I want to say. But I understand there's fire danger, but I don't think anyone moved to Cambria without realizing they were moving into a forest, and it comes with the territory. And I think, having said that, I think the primary responsibility of everyone in Cambria is to preserve the forest, wisely try to prevent the fires, but I think these ordinances have gone way too far. And just drive down Cambria, Main Street, and it looks like somebody took a razor to it. There's this but no, they weed whack all the way under the trees, and I'm sure my oak roots were disturbed. You know, they left nothing but dirt, except the ferns I told them not to cut down. And again, if that happens through all of Cambria, it's not going to be pretty. And I agree with everyone who said you need the forest, the debris on the forest, to protect the plants, to protect the animals, and rare species come up in the forest. And all of Cambria is a forest, not just the protected areas, not just the green space properties. All of Cambria is a forest.
Ms. Abney, we don't call it dirt around here. We call it soil.
Oh, excuse me.
Dirt's what gets, you know.
Well, the soil is getting very
unattractive. Dirt's what you remove and, you know.
We're seeing too much soil and not enough green. And also, you know, the wildflowers that come up are beautiful. And then the weed whack, if we have to weed whack all year long, we're not going to see a flower anymore. Because you're right, they come through and they would take everything, unless you're there protecting what. And, I spoke to some person at the last meeting. There was a $10,000 estimate to clear their lot of pampas grass. And I'm just thinking, I'm worried that if pampas grass, I don't imagine it's very easy to remove. And to dig it out on 3 acres is going to be a real hard job. I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of poison used. And, you know, have the, what is it called? The poison, the Roundup. And we get in the water system. I think that really needs to be looked at to make sure the public does not damage the town with poisons to kill the plants to protect us from the fire. So we die one way or another. Yeah.
Can you, speaking of dying, can you wind up, please?
Yes, I will. I respectfully ask that the CC Board of Directors be very mindful of the beauty and fragile ecosystem of our town in designing a defensible space ordinance. Do not let fear destroy the peace and beauty of our homes. Mr. Putney is knowledgeable in fire protection. Hire someone knowledgeable in the protection of our plant and animal life. We will all benefit. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Howard Valens.
Good evening. My name is Howard Valens. My family and I have lived in Cambria for the last 13 years. I'm here this evening to express my opposition to proposed Ordinance 01-2000, Defensible Space. I want to make 4 points, if time permits. Point one, Ordinance 01-2007 is neither kind nor friendly. The people of Cambria are. It's not kind and friendly to the environment. That ordinance is not kind and friendly to the wildlife. It's not kind and friendly to the turkeys, the deer, or the birds. The ordinance also fails to take into consideration the impact that will have on the preservation of our forests. The ordinance creates an adversary relationship between the fire department and this community as drafted. The ordinance provides no notice requirement following 2 years. Imagine for a moment, after this ordinance is passed, if your county assessor would send bills out for 2 years and then thereafter 182A1, and you'll also find an exception in the Public Resources Code 4291A. Second, the proposed ordinance was not drafted nor tailored so as to comply with the government code 51182A. It's not limited to occupied dwellings or structures in a very high hazard zone, which is required by government code 51182A. The proposed ordinance does not comply with the government code 51186. This section provides that the local agency has jurisdiction over property regulated, but shall notify the owner to correct the conditions. This proposed ordinance has no provision in it with respect to notification. That is a due process requirement that this board cannot ignore. The proposed ordinance does not attempt to or incorporate an exception where grass or other vegetation is necessary to stabilize the soil or prevent erosion. That is a requirement of the government code 51182A2. The proposed ordinance does not attempt or incorporate any of the exceptions provided by the government code 51184A. That section provides an exception for land or water that's required or managed for threatened species, lands in predominantly natural habitat for wildlife, and lands having scenic values. If you were to look at the model ordinance that was adopted by the state of California, it has the exceptions drafted into it. Someone took the time to lay out exceptions. Those exceptions need to be applied to Cambria. Point three.
Can you summarize points three and four?
Yes, I'll be very
quick.
In
less than a minute?
Yes.
Thank you.
Point three is there's no showing why any such ordinance is necessary in Cambria. There's existing statutes. There's existing laws in place. All the fire department needs to do is try to enforce them. Point four is how will or should the CCSD approach the proposed ordinance from this point on? This ordinance that was proposed was drafted and presented without the community's input. I challenge the board for any revised ordinance to, one, circulate the revised ordinance for public review and written comment before voting on it, before having sessions like this so that we can deal with these problems before it comes before you. Second, any draft ordinance should be reviewed by qualified individuals and their comments provided to in writing. Third, require the fire chief to substantiate his findings with written evidence that can actually be validated. And fourth, have any defensible space ordinance consistent with the Cambria Forest Management Plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Dennis Damian Lynch and Y.M. Lynch. I don't know if that's two people or more than two people. It looks like two people. I can pick up on that immediately.
One and a half. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't have any prepared remarks. I'm just going to kind of let her fly.
That's okay. I do that every week also, so it doesn't matter.
In no particular order. I may jump around. It may seem a little haphazard, but got a lot to say. My wife and I, 10 years ago, we were the proud owners of three different SFR residential lots. A couple are contiguous, back up to each other. Again, in no particular order, what's the agenda here? Do you guys, like, conspire in back rooms to figure out ways to intimidate lot owners so they eventually acquiesce and just belly up and donate? I'm quoting somebody. We're donating our land to a land conservancy group. Is that the ultimate agenda here? Because it's not going to happen. What part of private property rights don't we understand? Do we not understand the term private property? Makes perfect sense to me. Okay, not for sale. What part of not for sale don't you understand? Okay, we're not selling, and we're not giving up our private property rights. Okay, so this whole thing about I'm going to continue to pay fire assessments on my tax bill. What am I benefiting from? What is the fire department doing for me? And this is nothing personal. God bless firemen when they're performing their duties, saving lives, putting out fires. I think they're wonderful, but. Someone made the comment, adversarial relationship. Yeah, this is occurring. I've had candid one-on-one conversations with fire department officials. They're good people. They empathize with what we're going through. They oftentimes throw their hands in the air and say, you know, well, the district pays our paycheck, and, you know, we have to answer them. They're our employer, so on and so forth. I'm speaking quickly because I know I'm out of time soon. But this whole thing about, you know, we're supposed to be doing this work and the onus being put on us. This third parcel, I mentioned we own three properties. This third parcel we own, it's in a section of town that is entirely undeveloped. The whole block is, there's little or no development on the entire block. So with this defensible space suggestion, what structure are we going to be protecting if the district arrives at a conclusion that they're going to make every parcel in town required to be cleared? I don't see any sense in that. And it's amazing. I can't believe it. I'm actually, for once, aligned with the interests of people like Doug Buckmaster or Green Space. I mean, we're actually in agreement. I mean, I don't want to. No offense to anybody. I don't want to decimate my property. That's never.
I think
been cleared.
You pretty much offended everybody. Well, that's cool. No offense.
I forgot to say earlier, under different circumstances, if you all sat down and met me and we talked, you'd probably say, hey, he's not a bad guy. But I'm not a nice guy tonight, and I'm not trying to make friends, and I'm not trying to be politically correct. So sorry, okay?
Can you wind up your...
Yes, sir, of course. My bottom line really is that the whole thing, it's just the way it's progressing. It's like the firestorm is amongst ideology, agendas, and townspeople. It's not about the forest anymore. It's about the contentious aspect of human beings meddling in the affairs of other people's lives, trying to assume they understand what we see, where we stand in our shoes, the perspective as landowners, as we pay our assessments, we pay our dues, we play the game, we comply, we're stewards of our land, we meet the district's requirements. We basically are playing ball, and everybody keeps telling us it's not good enough, and yet you want more. Well, you know what? I hear the whistle blowing and the train's coming around the bend. And you know what? There's a litigation train wreck that's coming. So, you know, you guys, if that's the way you want it, so be it.
Thank you. Clay Akey.
Perimeter like 25 feet and focusing on that because, you know, things like we're obviously not going to go and bulldoze the CT ranch or some of the other property around here, but some of us that don't own that much land don't feel any different about our land either. We want it protected, and we came to Cambria because it is a forest, and I think that this ordinance is beyond extreme. Thank you.
In addition to the speakers tonight, I've received four comments, and I'll just read them the names into the record, but they wish to only make written comments, so I'll ask the clerk to file them for the record. One is from Dr. K.J. Green, with an E at the end of his name, Jan Meshkoff, Craig Smith, and Mark DiMaggio. Normally, I don't ask of this, but is there anyone else who would like to address the board on this issue? We're all interested in all the comments, not just the ones that receive applause. Yes, ma'am. Can you fill out a go ahead and introduce yourself, but when you leave, can you fill out a form for us?
I'm Valerie Bence. I've lived in Cambria for, about 7 years. My husband and I own a property on Lodge Hill and an extra property behind it. And I'm very much opposed to this ordinance. We moved here because this is Cambria in the Pines. And we realized we were moving into a forest, and that's why we're here. And I've read about the green space plan, the Cambria Forest Management Plan, and I really would like you to relook at that. It seemed like a wonderful effort that the community made together 4 or 5 years ago, and I would like to see that move forward. The fire department was involved, the community was involved, and we had a forest ecologist to be involved. We love the creatures in Cambria. We live here not by ourselves. We actually had 2 baby fawns born in our backyard last week, and this was wonderful. There's lots of birds. We would like to be a home not only for humans, but for all the creatures who have been here way before we have. And I wanted to say one more thing. For 4 years, I was the secretary of the Mission Canyon Neighborhood Association in Santa Barbara. Mission Canyon is the highest fire hazard area in Santa Barbara. And as that secretary, we managed a fire hazard abatement program with a community college fire program. And we found that one of the biggest reason fires were starting in the state, at least down there, was because of arsonists or careless people throwing cigarettes out of a car. So we had a patrol of students who went around the neighborhood in the hottest days just to watch so that that wouldn't happen. So it's not only that there's brush around that causes fire. The main thing that causes fire is people. So if we really want to go to that logical extreme, we should all move away so that we wouldn't cause a fire.
All of the speakers have mentioned how important it is that both sides feel that there's some sort of comprehensive decisions made. We live in a forest. Forest burns. This forest hasn't burned in 100 years, but it will eventually. It's a matter of time. And fundamentally, I don't care if there's understory or not. Once the forest gets started, the whole forest is going to burn. It's as simple as that. It's fire science. So to take away the understory and affect the nature, the tree, the wildlife, and the birds in hopes of preventing a fire.
Mr. Brandon, just a second. I want the clerk to reset this because obviously that's not 3 minutes. I want to give you the full 3 minutes. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyhow, my point is that if and when the fire does start, which it will eventually, whether we have an understory or not isn't going to make a bit of difference. The fire will go to the top of the trees. It will crown, as they say, and it will develop winds so strong that it's a matter of time till it advances all the way, especially with a predominant prevailing wind out of the northwest. So to take away the understory and impact nature and flowers and the aesthetic beauty of living in a very dangerous place, I don't think is the best decision that we'd make. And I certainly hope that the CCSD will take the emotions of the people and the points of view that have been expressed tonight into consideration and work out something comparable and acceptable to both points of view being expressed tonight. But I'm saying when this forest catches on fire now or in 100 years, it's going to go. In Dresden in World War II, they firebombed the city and they developed winds of 150 miles an hour from the draft of the conflagration. So to take away the understory is not in the best interest of the enjoyment of living in Cambria. Thank you.
John McGarry, and he will be the final speaker unless someone else fills a blue or yellow card in the back. Thank you.
Good evening, lady, gentlemen. My name is John McGarry. I live here in Cambria. I'm a member of the Fire Focus Group. I support the chief. I think that he's put time and effort into this ordinance. And if we are going to err, let's err on the side of public health and safety. Thank you.
Okay. Listened to our citizens for about an hour and 10 minutes or so. And I'll just say a couple of comments, and then I'll invite my colleagues if they have anything to say. First, thank you for coming. I, for one, was interested in what all you folks had to say. And I promise you that I'll, when it comes time to consider the ordinance, I will consider everything that was said tonight. You know, every once in a while I see some other CCSDs in action, and I take pride that ours is, in my opinion, the best. And it's the best in terms of the comments and in terms of the input from the community and the help that the community gives me. And I'm using that word carefully, heart, including whether we are firefighter or administration or on the board, is in doing the best for our community. And it's unfair to suggest, I'm not saying anyone did it expressly, that there's any malice or bad faith and that anger is going to motivate us. I think one of the speakers, it was Rick Hawley, who said that he doesn't like to be, it doesn't motivate him when he feels like someone is using him. Well, I think that's true of most people, and certainly the people on this board, I think. So the comments are all gratefully accepted. They will be considered. Thank you for coming at this late hour. And anybody else have any other comments?
Mr. President, just a couple of comments. First of all, I want to thank everybody for keeping the discourse here very civil. It's much appreciated. Two things. First of all, I recall a statement that somehow the board is muscling the community into compliance with this ordinance. And I think it's an overstatement. This ordinance hasn't even been adopted yet. The ordinance was placed on the board's agenda for the first time in February. Is that right? And the board immediately recognized that community input is needed, and that's exactly what we're getting. So to suggest that we're muscling the town around, I think, is a gross overstatement.
All they have to do is look at us. I mean, we're not exactly buffed, are we?
Exactly. No, I mean, this is just a part of the process, and we appreciate the input that we're getting. The second thing is, I think this is going to be back on our agenda on the 28th. Is that right? I don't think we're going to be in a position to consider this ordinance on the 28th. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and I'd suggest that maybe while we ask that it be on the agenda, we let the community know that it's probably going to be continued again. Thank you.
I'd just like to make one correction, and that is that I think it was one of the speakers that referred to the forest management plan as being attributed to the green space. That's not correct. That was a that was a established program development with a grant and a participation by CDF and green space and a lot of other citizens in the community.
I'll add to that, and it was a project that was initiated by the district. So, and the report was delivered to us, and as far as I know, we have not ignored it. We've received it, and it's part of what we're looking at. I just wanted to really repeat what Greg said, because, and again, thank all of you for coming and giving us your thoughts. But do be aware that the ordinance.
Say, if I may, there's a process that the board ratified at the May meeting. I've been appointed to work with Director Funky Ballou and the Forest Management Committee to try and work out some sort of reasonable compromise that makes sense for this community. I think we need a focal point. We need a forum in which the issues that have been raised tonight can be addressed, and I think the Forest Management Committee is probably the best place to do that. I think there's a very good broad-based representation of the community on the Forest Management Committee that is focused on the issues that you all have presented to us tonight. So my intention is to follow through with what the board has asked me to do, working with Director Funky Ballou, the Forest Management Committee, and come back to the board with what we hope is a compromise that either everybody can live with or nobody can live with. When I say nobody can live with, sometimes the best test of a good decision is that everybody's unhappy, including the fire department, by the way. So that's the goal, and I think this is going to take some time. These issues are very complex. I'm on a learning curve. I know virtually nothing about forest ecology, but I am learning. And I'm confident that, as with many other issues that this board has tackled, we can craft a compromise that will be workable.
I'm sorry, I closed off the public comment. Is it? It looks like an arm to me.
That's the answer.
I'm going to adjourn a couple of minutes, and maybe we'll stick around if you have a question. But I can't, you know, I called it off. Oh, there we go. We're going to have a public comment, so you can speak at the public comment if you wish. You want to speak at the public comment? Go ahead.
Steve Figler. I have lived here about 7 years. We have several friends who've said that there is already understory clearing and cutting going on. If this ordinance is not a fait accompli, how come understory is being stripped out?
Fait accompli? Is that like a French term?
No, I think that's Italian. It's up okay. On the border. You know.
Is that true? What Mr. Figler is saying? I'm not aware. I'm not aware of that.
So I would like to request that if it's not a done deal, that's English for fait accompli.
done deal. I got
that clearing be stopped.
Well. I'm curious. I hear the rabble saying yeah, but I'm more interested in what you have to say. Is that true?
The lot owners, the vacant parcel owners,
destroying the understory. I mean, really, you as citizens do, and you know, you have as much power as the chief to use what you're doing right now to express to your neighbors and say, hey, do you know what you're doing? You're destroying. You're helping to destroy the forest. The very reason why we came here. So we will address that. You know, with Mr. Figler's comments, I thought that somehow CCSD was responsible, and I don't think we are. It sounds like they're individual property owners who, many of them, innocently. Okay, listen, so you want to make a public comment? Well, he also has an arm. Okay.
One very good, Skip Moss. One very good example of what's happened is since these notices went out, a lot of the property owners that are of the vacant parcels that don't live in town, that are not neighbors that we can walk up to and say, please don't clear your lot that way, have cleared a lot. So a great example is the bottom of Pickwick, and I think it's the corner of Londonderry. There are 5 or 6 lots that were completely stripped in the last week, completely stripped. All the shrubs, everything's gone. It's all sitting on the side of the road so you can see it. That's happening all over town because of the notices that went out, and people are really worried that they're going to get docked the $400 penalty.
Mr. Moss, these notices have been going out for the 23 years that I've lived in this town.
The notices have
increased. Every year they go out.
The notices have increased. They are not the same notices that have been going out since 1960. More notices have gone out, and you said that in your last meeting. Each year, the number of notices increase.
What do you mean the number of notices increased?
Ask your staff.
Well, we have more lots that are vacant. That's because we're trying to reduce building. Isn't
more
that what people want?
More lots have been cleared this year than in any previous year. We never used to see this strip mentality going on. It is happening right now.
There are people who come here and put in lawns because they think lawns are beautiful things.
I understand. But your question was of the peanut gallery or whatever you call this.
Rabble.
Is there evidence? Yes, there is evidence all over town right now that lots have been cleared because of this year's requirements.
Well, I take beyond. Well, listen, that's fine. Any other public comment? Hey, listen, anyone who wants to speak, if you can please fill out a blue form. I'm serious. We can't go on all night. I mean, we all have business and stuff to do next day and everything. So if you can fill out a blue form, even if you want to speak at the public comment, I've been trying to be patient, and I've extended it beyond what I said I was going to do. So do me a favor, fill out a blue form. I'll be happy to listen to you. Let's go.
My name is Dan McCauley, and as I recall, the weed abatement program started about 1982 with 125 lots and has been gradually expanded since. That's all.
Thank you. Anybody else with a blue form? Okay, I see someone around the wall. Just put your name. You don't have to put the rest of the stuff. Just put your name. Sir, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm Jim Crescenzi, and I've been a resident for about 6 or 7 years here on Happy Hill. By the way, I did clear, I'm part owner of two lots, and even though I'm 68, I cleared them on a steep hill.
You're looking good.
Yeah. It wasn't that hard. And certainly the lot that I cleared, when the brush, each year, by the way, it comes back. I found it doesn't go away permanently. When that brush gets dry, it's pretty obvious that somebody who did inadvertently throw some combustion, something like a cigarette in the area, would create a fire. And so trimming that lot seems to be sensible. And I tried very hard, as many of the other citizens do, not to destroy significant plants. Now, I'm not a botanist, and I don't know the differences, but I do know that I reduced the fire hazard. And I do believe that we need a program to reduce the fire hazard in Cambria, in large part to protect our forests. Thank you.
Jan Meshkoff, I hope I pronounced that correctly.
I wasn't going to speak, but I'm concerned, Chief Putney, there's a sort of not quite frankness here about this. And the example is that a lot, a ravine was cleared on Cornwall, on a corner. Mike Rice came in and did it, so he has to have been sent there by you, I would assume. And it was denuded, and this is a ravine that there was all kinds of wildlife, and now there's no undercover. It is full of nasturtiums now, because it's been about 6 months. So things are being cleared out because people are so threatened by what they're told they have to do without considering the ecology. And I think that's what we need to have here. We need to consider the ecology of the places.
Well, I appreciate that. And if people see stuff like that, if you can email or fax or drop a note or come by the fire department and let us know, we may not be aware.
Oh.
I mean, I was not aware. Listen, I'm sorry. I was not aware.
Do you know where Joel and Butler's frame shop was? Is on Cornwall?
Right.
It used to be. Just look.
Okay, yeah. I will look now, but see, I wasn't aware. So I appreciate that. And then there's a name that I can't make out the first name, but it looks like the last name is Gay or Guy.
Warren.
Oh, Warren, is it Gay?
Yes.
Thank you.
I wrote it in a hurry because
that's okay.
I didn't want to miss out.
Okay.
I just want to have my count as being not in favor of the current ordinance as it's written. I think it's very heavy-handed. I don't think it's very clear in a lot of ways. The tree issue, in the paper it said, well, if you have a small tree, then you do it one-fourth of the way up. There's nothing about small trees in the ordinance whatsoever. I went to a lot of expense to clear my area around my house and plant a lot of native grasses in certain areas and plants, and I really don't want to have to get rid of those. Anyway, I just want to be counted as not in favor of the current ordinance as you have it written. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we adjourn, I just want to, I'm going to be doing this monthly, but I just want to advise my neighbors that it's been 1,971 days since we declared a water emergency in this town. So for those folks, some new people have come in and they're not even aware.
Fine with the newspaper, the letters that I got, including one specifically that was included with the newsletter, I don't remember exactly what, from the fire department, the language and the message that everybody here got was definitely more extreme than years past. What we're hearing now is this ordinance isn't even passed, but the result of the press and the letters that we got is already happening on the lot. That's all I want to say.
Thank you.